Blog Talk Radio.
It's time for the Coach K and Joe Show. The Coach K and Joe Show is brought to you by Harmon Dental Care, Jasper Today, Idea Fusion Media, and the Willis Fence Company. Now, here's Joe Milligan and Ken Coach K Schultheis.
Hello, this is Joe Milligan, and I'm joined always by Coach K, Ken Schultheis. Coach, how's it going on this bit cold Friday?
Well, Joe, I don't think we can start the show without at least acknowledging, you know, what's going on in Boston this morning and has been going on since about 10:30 Eastern time last night. And of course, this all stems out of the cowardly, vicious bombing that went on during the marathon, where, you know, this wasn't a military situation. This was children and parents and friends and relatives who were there to watch people run in a traditional sporting event in Boston. And I call it cowardly because that's what it is. It's a cowardly, vicious act when you hide something unknowingly to innocent people, and they are innocent people, and it's a heinous crime. And right now, I'm sure you've been watching, Joe. We talked a little bit about it, and most of the people who will listen to the show either live or listen podcast will have been watching the manhunt that's going on for one of the two believed to be the remaining bombers. One of them is dead, and one of them is being hunted right now. So just a sad situation, and our hearts go out to all the families affected, and we stand with law enforcement as they try to get this thing wound down and the city of Boston and the communities that surround it. I'm sorry, Joe, have we lost you?
No, sorry, we had a glitch there. I was trying to talk on Blog Talk, apparently. Apparently blocked me. It's Block Talk, I guess, today. So I'm back live now.
I just had this uneasy feeling, Joe, that we're going to have issues all morning with our show, and I want to apologize to our listeners ahead of time, because we try to run a professional show, and it seems like technical problems get in the way with our service provider, Blog Talk Radio. I'm assuming that's what it is. You know, there always seems to be a delay when we're talking, and sometimes it causes us not to be clear if someone is on the other end. So apologize for that.
Yeah, but you know, big show though, big show. You know what? We got Cody Zeller. You know, IU great. He's going to be on to talk about, you know, leaving IU and his time at IU, and also the distinction camps that the Zeller families run. And we're going to have Purdue great John Goldsberry, one of my favorite Purdue Boilermakers ever. We called him the G Train. I still call him that. And he's also going to have some NFL and some college. Ex-college players come into Heritage Hills in June, and they're going to run a football camp as well. So, you know, if your kids are interested in basketball camp or football camp this summer, you know, today might be also be the day to catch two great athletes from our area, one from Heritage Hills, one from Washington, but also learn about what their camps and what, you know, where they're going to offer them at, and, you know, and plan ahead for your kids to learn a little bit about football and basketball.
Yeah, and we've had John on the show before, and John always does a great job, and he was just one of the tough players at Purdue, part of that tradition of solid football players, and even though they've had some seasons where they've struggled here as of late, football at Purdue has a solid tradition, and John, of course, was one of those guys, and he's well-respected by Purdue fans and Big Ten people like. So we look forward to having him on. And of course, yeah, you know, we've got everybody's All-American, Big Ten Freshman of the Year 2 years ago. Cody Zeller, he's going to go into the NBA, and we'll talk with Cody coming up at the half hour. And you know, he's a young man who has done remarkable things on the basketball court in such a short time, but now he's going into a new situation. And so many things to talk with Cody about, and so many things that we can't really talk with Cody about at this time, because he's still in that stage of hearing from NBA teams and finding out just what he can and can talk about going forward. But, you know, there's been a lot of, as the college basketball season ended, there's been a lot of things going on, and especially in the Big Ten. And one of the teams that we know, we have several listeners who are big fans of, and that's Michigan. And we know that Burke and Hardaway are going. But big news out of Michigan is that Robinson and McGarry are staying. So that's a positive thing for Coach Beilein and the Wolverines program. And then, Joe, I also heard today, for those who are familiar with former IU basketball player, assistant coach, and now ESPN analyst and 107 The Fan out of Indianapolis, Double E Dan Dockage, his son, one of our listeners, Josh Houchin, let us know today, and he posted something on the Facebook page, Coach K and Joe Show Facebook page, that Dan Dockage's son is being given preferred walk-on status at Michigan.
Yeah, he also has that at Purdue. I'm not sure about IU, but I do know that he's been offered a preferred walk-on status at Purdue as well. And, you know, it'd be nice to have a mouthpiece there, I guess, as long as he stays happy. You know, it'd be great to have old Dan. But, you know, Coach, when we've lost a couple players on IU and Purdue, Remy Abel has announced that he's transferring, and Anthony Johnson, which kind of confused me a little bit after tweeting that he was excited for the 2013-14 season and that they would be working hard to get ready for it, did a roundabout and decided that he is transferring. Now, I did hear also, though, that his grandfather might be sick and he's wanting to move closer to that situation. But it was still a little odd that, if the story, you know, I didn't hear that from Anthony Johnson's mouth exactly, but if the story's true, that might explain a little bit. But if not, it was a little odd that, you know, and you know, I know I get tweets and I get messages from IU people saying I'm always on IU about their situation, but here I am, a Purdue guy, questioning maybe Purdue and what's going on there. So we're fair and balanced.
Well, and I think what Joe's referring to for those listening is there's always this gray area that's going on this time of year when players, and it's happened more in frequent years, and I mean more in just like the last few years than it has in the past, of players transferring out. And the question always begs, were they asked to leave? Were they told, you know what, if you stay, you're not going to get much playing time, we've got some new kids coming in? Was it a decision that they wanted to transfer on their own? And, you know, Remy Abel at IU, and I know that the questions have been out there, and you get a report that his mom didn't know or his mom did know, and then Remy Abel is the one that wanted to leave. You know, we've had a couple of listeners who have taken both sides. Well, they think Crean is talked to him and made him feel like, you know, there isn't the space for him and the playing time for him. We have another listener, and he follows us on Twitter, and he got quite upset with some of the tweets from our show, but that is 100% Remy's idea. Crean had nothing to do with it, and I think his tweet even said, that's why we have to beg people to listen. Well, we don't beg anybody to listen, because Joe and I do this show for just the fun of doing the show. And we're not under anybody's contract, and we're not under anybody's threat of not supporting the show financially or anything like that. We do it because we want to talk sports, and we want to do it from a direction that maybe you don't always get on Colin Cowherd and Mike and Mike, and maybe it's not always politically correct, but it is a gray area, and we're wondering if some of those things aren't happening at Purdue in different places. And I know some people say, well, you know, Coach K, it's a one-year deal for everybody. And I get that. I understand that. But I can promise you this, and I've sat in the living rooms when it's happened. Folks, listen to me. I've sat in the living rooms when it's happened. The coach does not come in and say, we want to give you a four-year deal, 1 year at a time, or we're going to give you 1 year at a time and possibly 4 years. They come in and say, we want you to come to blah, blah school and play for us, and we want over the next 4 years grow your potential and grow you as a young man who can be successful out there. It's not pitted that way. It may be to some kids who just madly want to go to that school, and the coach really doesn't have a lot of room, but he says, okay, we'll give you preferred walk-on status. If something works out, you may get a scholarship. Or, you know, we're going to bring you on, and there's a possibility we may have to take the scholarship away because you weren't one of the preferenced players we were looking for. So before you get your panties in a wad and get yourself all confused, worked up, all we're saying is that when they recruit these guys, they do not go in and say this is a one-year deal. And we know that they'll take that scholarship away, or they'll ask young men to leave if they haven't done their job, if they haven't worked hard, if they haven't held up their end of the bargain in the classroom and things like that. But it just isn't presented as a one-year deal.
Well, the one thing I got to say, too, is, when you're cheering for a team, that's fine. And I'm a Purdue person, and Chris is an IU person. But also, though, you got to kind of take the blinders off. First of all, I said something about Anthony Johnson, but I also said there was a possible excuse. But I also said, how do I know if that, you know, if that's true or not? You know, and I'm not sure if Chris has a hotline to Coach Crean or exactly how he knows how everything's going. But no matter what team you cheer for, you know, you gotta take the blinders off sometimes and just look at things level headed. And I think we've been very level headed on this topic of oversigning and transfers and et cetera. So you know,
I mean, look at Kentucky. Yep. They just it was announced over the last couple of days they've got three more signees. I think, Joe, we counted they've got eight signees coming in. And, you know, I don't know where they all fit in. It's they're talking about it's the greatest recruiting class in Kentucky history. Hawkins, Randall, Johnson, the Harrison twins, Lee, Williams, and Young considered their greatest recruiting class. Now, I understand that every team's trying to get better. But, man, let's just keep the integrity somewhere in college sports. We can't complain about it being an amateur sport on one hand, and then when it comes to winning, we turn it into a business Wall Street mentality on the other hand. You know, either grow 20% or you're out. I mean, you just – and those involved in business and work-related, they know – they understand what I'm talking about. But we want to hear from everybody, good, bad, or ugly. If you don't like the tweets, if you don't like the Facebook comments, if you don't like – what we're talking about, either way, it's fine. I got a Facebook message from, I'll just call him Billy the Ripper or Billy the Boiler. Either way, he's a Purdue fan, and he was messaging me this morning. We were talking a little bit, and he went on to say, hey, you know, either way you look at it, the Indiana season was a bust. And I'm like, what are you talking about? We were number one in the country for many weeks. We had a great run in the tournament, no matter what anyone says. We had a Big Ten championship. It didn't culminate where everybody would like it to be. Nope, it was a bust. That team was created to win a national championship. It didn't even get to the Final Four. It was a bust. You want to hear a joke? And I said, yeah, what's the joke? He said, Tom Crean, ha, ha, ha. So, you know, you get it all different ways from all different people, and I think most of it's in fun, but we know that Tom Crean does a very good job. He's an outstanding recruiter, and IU did have a great season. And I know, Joe, you posted a question on Facebook, I believe, a few weeks ago that got some people angry, and it was about is going to the Sweet 16 or winning a Big Ten championship considered a successful season? Is that good enough? Well,
yep.
I don't know. I think it is good enough. Unless you were number one all year long, all the way through the polls and undefeated, may fall short. But otherwise, I think that's a great season.
Well, main reason I did that right after the IU game, so I got a lot of hostility, which I seem to get sometimes from Hoosier fans. But the main reason I posted that was got quite a bit of laughing the season that Juwan Johnson and Etuan Moore won the Big Ten championship and then got knocked out in the Sweet 16. So I was just kind of wanting to get their point of view because, you know, I'm sure that, you know, IU had a nice season and they can be proud about it. But it was kind of a point of, you know, of you got to look at the pot calling the kettle black there. And, you know, and I got quite a few remarks from it, which I can handle. I'm a big boy, and, you know, I can handle the good comments. I can handle the bad. I mean, you know, I mean, I get training at home. My wife tells me good things and then tells me bad things all the time, you know. So I'm not putting the cover back on the grill and stuff, so, you know. So I'm used to it. I'm used to getting grilled, so, you know, I even get grilled.
Well, you know, it's all in fun. The serious stuff is what's going on in Boston right now. That's the serious
stuff.
Yeah,
in Texas. Yep.
But this is fun, and it's interesting, and yes, it's insightful, and it causes you to think, and these things are important because people pay a lot of money to see them and be a part of them, and these kids do get scholarships and everything else. But this is mostly fun, and I know if you go to our Facebook site, Coach K and Joe Show, we've got a piece on there about the little guy, Cody. He hears that Cody Zeller is leaving Indiana, and he starts crying. It's a great little video to watch.
Well, the one thing I do have to say, though, is, you know, I know where a lot of us, our listeners, IU fans and Purdue fans, et cetera, and, you know, we're always like, oh, you know, that guy or that guy. The one thing that you can be guaranteed, though, at IU and Purdue is you have all quality kids that are going to school there. You know what I mean? So you might not like them as athletes, but I guarantee you, if a Purdue person met an IU player, one of the IU players, or an IU fan met one of the Purdue players, I would think that there's a 99% chance they'd walk away thinking, well, that guy's a pretty good guy, you know. And we can't always say that, you know. My experience with my daughter playing in Conference USA and getting to know the Conference USA football and basketball genre, you know, I'm not sure that the same thing can be said about. The, you know, those kind of kids, and they, you know, they have to do a lot of gambling, you know, at those kind of schools to try to win the arms race, which, you know, that's the way the arms race has gotten. You know, I mean, it seems like Marshall's football team every year is filled with kids who couldn't get in to Florida, couldn't get into Notre Dame, got in trouble, so most of the big schools backed off. But I mean, the one thing I'm going to say, though, is, you know, you're going to be hard-pressed to find a bad kid that's been in the Purdue and IU program as a whole.
Yeah, I think for the most part they try to recruit the right people. And speaking of college basketball, a former Vincennes University junior college head coach and now the former Wabash Valley Warriors head coach, Dan Sparks, is retiring. Dan Sparks, long, long time coach in the junior college level, 869 games he won in his career over five decades. I got to know Dan back in the mid-'80s, early 80s, actually, started working his basketball camp. Just tremendous success as a coach on the junior college level. Changed administratively at Vincennes a few years back, and and Dan found himself in a situation where he would eventually hook back on with Wabash and just had a great career. So I think, Joe, what we ought to do, let's go to break, and when we come back.
Hello?
We've got, I thought we'd have technical problems. We've got some kind of sounds coming through. I apologize to our listeners. Let's go ahead and take a break, Joe. When we come back, we'll talk a little bit about the we'll talk about the NFL. People might be saying, NFL? There's no football going on. No, there's no football going on yet. But the NFL team schedules have come out, and we'll talk a little bit about the Colts and the Bears and some of the other schedules that have come out for next year. And Peyton Manning. Dad, talk about Peyton Manning in Indianapolis when we come back on the Coach K and Joe Show.
Does your website work for you? Your website is an employee. You wouldn't continue to pay an employee that didn't do his job, so don't pay for a site that doesn't produce results. Whether you don't have a site yet or want to improve an existing one, Josh at Idea Fusion Media can help. Want your site to be found easily on search engines like Google? How about growing your business via social media like Facebook? He can help with that as well. Idea Fusion Media, web design that works for you. For your free website review, visit ideafusionmedia.com. That's ideafusionmedia.com.
I want a hamburger. No, a cheeseburger. I want a hot dog. I want a milkshake. I want potatoes.
You'll get nothing and like it.
Do you have a question or comment for Coach K or Joe? You can call into the show at area code 773-897-6325. Now, back to the Coach K and Joe Show.
This is Cody Zeller, and you're listening to the Coach K and Joe Show.
And we're back on the Coach K and Joe Show. I'm Joe Milligan, joined by the coach, Coach K, Ken Schulteis. Coach, I've been online trying to buy tickets to what do you think on October 20th?
Well, I would say that you're probably talking about finding tickets for the return of Peyton Manning to Lucas Oil Stadium as the quarterback of not the Indianapolis Colts, the Denver Broncos.
Yeah, and how much do you think those tickets will be going for?
Well, first of all, no tickets for the NFL are cheap, but I'm sure that if people are selling these tickets, they'll go for quite a bit. And the reason we bring this up, folks, is the NFL team schedules came out yesterday, and I find it always interesting to see how the NFL – has decided on the teams and how they're going to play each other, the level of difficulty of the schedule. And I'm looking, Joe, at the Indianapolis Colts schedule right now, and it looks like to me there's a mixed bag there. I think there's six or seven playoff teams that the Colts are going to have to beat, but you have Oakland to start the season, and I think that's a winnable game. You have Miami.
Oh, yeah.
That's a winnable game. San Francisco at San Francisco is going to be a tough one. It's going to be a tough one. Of course, they are the runner-up in the Super Bowl, but we'll see how their quarterback, second-year guy, comes back to do. Jacksonville, I think Jacksonville's they're in a mess, aren't they, Joe? I mean, that whole organization's kind of messed up right now.
Yeah, it's kind of in the same bag as an Oakland Raiders. There's just certain teams that just don't seem to be able to get it together, and Jacksonville definitely fits that category. But, I look at the schedule, and did the Colts make the playoffs last year? How did they get such an easy schedule?
Well, I don't know that it's easy. Let's take a look. Oakland and Miami, San Francisco, Jacksonville. Okay, we're looking at 3-1. Seattle, that'll be a tough game. Now, Seattle kind of limped their way into the playoffs, but did well. he gets at San Diego. San Diego's got the pieces of the puzzle to be a successful team. They weren't able to really put it together the last couple years, but they do have a solid quarterback situation, and they've got a decent group. And you know, we're not sitting here with the breakdown of all the teams at this point, folks. So if you're a major fan of any of these teams, I'm sure you can let us know. And then on the 20th, they have Denver. That's just going to be a media. Can you imagine the media frenzy going on for that game?
Oh, it'd be crazy. And there'd be some people, I know that they're diehard Colts fans, but they're also diehard Peyton fans. It'd be interesting to see, to take a listen. I'm sure it'll be the loudest applause that anyone will get. I'm sure LeBron James won't get this kind of welcome. Doesn't matter when he goes back to Cleveland, you know. But I know people still don't really think a lot of Peyton Manning, and it'll be a big night. And as you said, a total media circus. You know, I guess Coach K and Joe Show needs to get there, huh?
Oh, we got to see if we can get Peyton on the show. Peyton, I hope Peyton throws for 600 yards and 6 or 7 touchdowns, but the Colts win. That'd be okay with me. Then you've got in November, the Colts have Houston, St. Louis, Tennessee, and Arizona. December, Tennessee, Cincinnati, Houston, Kansas City, Jacksonville. Now look at that. Down the stretch, Joe, you've got Tennessee, Cincinnati, Houston, Kansas City, Jacksonville. I think that's a pretty break-even schedule right there. Houston at home, although Houston has always played the Colts well at Lucas Oil.
Yes, they have.
But Kansas City on the road, even though Kansas City is considered a tough place to play, they really haven't had the team that puts up much of a fight. And then they finish the year with Jacksonville. If you're a Chicago Bears fan, just real quickly, you've got Cincinnati, Minnesota, Pittsburgh, and Detroit to start. And the way I look at that is Cincinnati is a team that can beat you, but Cincinnati may come out and lose to you by 2 touchdowns as well. Minnesota is trying to improve. We'll see if they can have the kind of running game and passing game they need to move up in that division. Pittsburgh should be solid. And Detroit, I think Detroit will rebound. I think Detroit, just everything that could go wrong last year went wrong in Detroit, but if their offensive people are healthy, they're building on the defensive side, I think Detroit can be a solid team. And then you've got New Orleans, the Giants, and Washington. That's no easy task on those 3 games in October for the Bears. And then Tennessee Titans. I know we have a lot of people in the Indiana, Kentucky area that have become Tennessee Titan fans. Pittsburgh, Houston, San Diego, the Jets, and Kansas City to start out. So NFL, it's not far away, Joe. It's not far away at all.
Yeah, and there are a few Bengal fans in this area as well. My house is dominated with the Houdet fans. So just to point that out. But, yeah, and, you know, coming up, bro, we also got the NBA playoffs starting. And, you know, what's your opinion? Everyone keeps saying it's the Miami Heat against the world. Is there anyone that you see that has made the playoffs that can possibly challenge them?
I used to think the Pacers might have a chance to be a thorn in their side. I'm not sure that that's going to happen. I really do believe that the Heat are by far the cream of the crop. I mean, they just have so many weapons. And they've added some extra shooting to the team. But I look out west, and, Joe, I just don't see – you know, everybody was really high on the San Antonio Spurs when the year started. But you know what? From the very beginning, San Antonio seemed too old to me. And the NBA season's a long season. As you move through the playoffs, they're long playoffs. It's just tough. For that team with the guys they have, they're great players. They're Hall of Fame players. They're world champion caliber players. But several of them, Duncan especially, is towards the end of his career, a great career. He can be effective in a short series. He can be effective in an early games of the series. But I think we saw it last year. I think a long series is going to be tough for San Antonio. And with Harden going to Houston, you know, I don't know about Oklahoma City. I don't know if they have enough to get it done and take a Miami out. I'm not saying they can't, but I don't know if they have enough to do that. I like Oklahoma City. I like Denver. But, again, I don't think Denver's strong enough over the long haul. They're fun to watch. George Coyle does a great job with them. It's great to see the Clippers in. They're a lot more fun to watch than I feel like they are a championship-level team. It's Dunkamania over there. They have a lot of fun getting up and down the floor. But I don't think they can string enough victories in the playoffs together to win a championship or even get to the NBA championship. And I was not surprised that the Lakers found their way into the playoffs. What a horrendous start, changing of coaches. But we know that they're limited in their ability to move on in the playoffs, even before Kobe Bryant got hurt. But with Kobe Bryant out, I just don't think the Lakers are going to go very far in the playoffs.
But I'd like to see the Pacers, you know, do well. And, you know, I at the beginning of the year, you know, the way things went, I actually thought, you know, maybe the Pacers have a chance to challenge them, and I'm just not so sure anymore. But, hey, you know, moving on to Major League Baseball, two things I have, and then I'll let you talk about it. But my two opinions of Major League Baseball right now is, being a Yankee fan, I can honestly say, though, being an American, this is the first time in the history of Joe Milligan that I'm happy that Boston's in first place. But then also, I look down at the L.A. Angels, and I am a Mitch Stetter homer, and I see 4-10, and I've seen some problems with left-handed pitching coming out of the bullpen. And Mitch, get ready, and Angels, grow a brain, and move my buddy Mitch Stetter up. But one quick note before I let you do your Major League Baseball rant there, Coach K, is you know, we have had a common theme of the Boston Marathon tragedy, and I said something to you about that. Hope it would be great if we could sing the national anthem every time, like they did at the Boston Bruins match the other night, the hockey team in Boston. The guy singing the national anthem shortly after it started, the whole place was singing it, and he just put the mic down and just let everyone else sing it, and that was great. But Coach, your Reds are hanging in there. You know, they're right up there with the Cardinals. So,
well, one thing, just to comment on what you just said. In the end, whether you're a Boston fan, a Yankees fan, a Reds fan, we're Americans first, and that's why we are a part of the greatest country in the world. We really are. We're blessed. God has blessed this country, and hopefully the majority and the leadership recognize that and make sure that we take advantage of the great blessing that we have. You know, Joe, the baseball, to quote Scott Rowan, is a long season, and a lot of ebbs and flows that go with it. I don't know that I have anyone that I just think is just going to run away with things. Obviously, Atlanta has gotten off to a great start, 13-2 right now, running away in the East, National League East, for now. But even at 13-2, they're only four games ahead of Washington. St. Louis, I think the remarkable, and I hate to say this because people who know me know I'm not a St. Louis Cardinal fan. It's remarkable what a great job that organization does year in and year out, and they're right in there again. You know, they have a solid pitching staff. They have a lot of good role players on the field, and they've just done a great job. The Reds are starting to heat up. You're right. They're right in there with them. Colorado maybe has been a surprise to a lot of people, 11-4 in the West. But, again, in the National League or the American League, it's really early. And then, of course, we all marvel at what goes on in Oakland with a small payroll, how well they do. But probably the worst payroll in baseball is somewhere in Houston. The Houston Astros, who are now an American League team. If, you know, some people probably don't even know that, Joe. But Houston, the Houston Astros have moved over into the American League, and they're 4-11. But you know who's right with them? They have the worst payroll, and the team that's one game ahead of them in the loss column has probably the highest payroll is Los Angeles Angels, 4-10. Go figure on that, Joe.
Yeah, I know. I see it. Yeah, and I was guilty of that, too, to begin the season. When I first looked at the standings, I couldn't find Houston when I was looking at the National League. You know, I was wondering, what the heck, misprint or what? And it was, they were moved to the American League, and I was like, wow, when did that happen, and why did it happen, you know? So it was,
well, they're
it was
trying to balance up, and I understand that. But I marvel at the amount of money the Los Angeles Angels spent the last couple years, and they're off to a slow start again. And I wondered over the offseason when they talked about a lot of the medical situations, physical situations that Albert Pujols was trying to take care of before this season starts. And the question will probably come out is he healthy, and was he healthy enough to come back full force? But when you're carrying that kind of a payroll and that kind of a contract for an individual, you feel a lot of pressure to have to get out there and perform. And a lot of pressure is put on you. So right now, the two Los Angeles teams who are probably have the highest payrolls in the league, the Dodgers in the National League, are 7-8, and the Los Angeles Angels are 4-10. Joe, you know what? We need to go to break, and when we come back, we're going to be talking with, in my opinion, everybody's All-American, Cody Zeller. So excited to have him, so excited for his future. And so excited about what he was able to do for the Indiana basketball program, for the university, for the state, and getting IU basketball back where it needed to be. Yes, he didn't do it alone. I understand that. But when he walked on campus 2 years ago, he was a big reason for confidence, a bright future, and people, he did not disappoint. When we come back, we'll be talking with future NBA player, maybe a lottery pick. We know that he's going to do well. Cody Zeller, you're listening to the Coach K and Joe Show.
Are you in the market for a new fence? Look no further than the Willis Fence Company. Willis Fence Company offers wood fences, chain link fences, aluminum and iron fences, and polyvinyl fences. Give fence professional Joe a call at 630-2449 for a free estimate today. The Willis Fence Company. A fence for every taste and budget.
Hey, we just want to say to all you other drivers out there, if you smell a delicious, crispy smell after the race, it's not your tailpipe. It's a little bit of shake and then bake. Shake and bake. That's our nickname.
Get used to hearing it.
Do you have a question or comment for Coach K or Joe? You can call into the show at area code 773-897-6325. Now, back to the Coach K and Joe Show.
And we're back on the Coach K and Joe Show. I'm Joe Milligan, joined by the coach, Coach K, Ken Schulteis, and we're very, very excited about our next guest. Our next guest does not need to explain who he is. He's Washington Hatchet great, Indiana Hoosier great, future NBA great, Cody Zeller. Cody, how are you doing?
I'm doing well. How about yourself?
Hey, Cody, this is Coach K. It's great to have you on the show. And as Joe just said, I think he's a Purdue fan, so for him to be so excited means something. Maybe having you on the show is going to bring him over from the dark side.
We can
only hope. It's great to have you. And you have been an outstanding player, All-American, All-Big Ten, All-Freshman, Big Ten Freshman Player of the Year, you name it. You've done it, and now you are beginning the next quest of your career, and that's a walk into the NBA. And before we talk about that, I'd just like to spend a few minutes talking to you about your time at IU and just ask you how that time went and what you've learned there. So, Cody, the first thing I would have to ask you is, when you got to the campus and you got and you started the basketball part of things and in the gym and being a part of the campus and seeing the program develop. From going from high school to IU, what was that feeling like to get on campus and already be, and I know you're a humble person, but already be the focus of IU basketball?
It was a little bit different, but you know, all my teammates and coaches did a nice job of kind of bringing me along. I felt like a freshman at a lot of points, just felt lost. So there was, you know, trying to find classes or on the court, playing in the Big Ten. So I definitely didn't feel, like I was the focal point at all. I felt like, you know, felt like a freshman at a lot of points. So, but luckily I had good teammates and coaches to kind of help me along.
Well, you had a great freshman year, and the team had a great season. And being an IU grad myself, I was just so excited to see the growth and the comeback story all in one. It wasn't just a comeback, but it was a growth in the program itself. When you look at your freshman year and going through this year as a sophomore and as a team, you had to grow because the way you guys were looked at in your first year and then the target on your back in your sophomore year, it had to make it a totally different approach as far as who you were competing against. When you went into your sophomore season, could you tell the difference in how the teams approached not only IU but you in general defensively?
Yeah, definitely. It was like you said, it was a whole different field of the season, just because my freshman year is kind of, we were always the underdogs. Everyone was picking against us, and you know, this year everyone was, you know, flip the switch, and you know, everyone was picking for us, and you know, everyone, I think the biggest thing is everyone was preparing for us, even in the summer, preparing for me individually and preparing for the team, just because, you know, if you can upset, you know, number one Indiana and, you know, shut down, you know, Cody Zeller, then, you know, that changes the whole program for some of these guys, especially the coaches. You know, it could propel their future as a coach. So, you know, we had a bullseye on our back the whole year, but, you know, we handled it fairly well just because, you know, we realized that we just had to prepare that much harder for every game.
Yeah, and the evolution in the season, it's always there. It's not just in the summertime and then you go play games and then you hope to improve. You're always evolving and improving and expanding your game, especially if you're going to be successful. You guys were number one ranked for many weeks. You did a great job in the Big Ten tournament. You did a great job in the Big Ten season. You go in the NCAA. But let me just ask you about from the early part of the season and then into Big Ten play. Early in the year, Cody Zeller shocked the world in how well he ran. Everybody knew you could run the floor, but I think you shocked so many people at how well you guys got out with the ball and how well you were consistent in sprinting the floor. As soon as the shot was rebounded, it came off, you were gone. You were down the floor. And I know that was part of the game plan. But as teams started to adjust to that, how did you have to adjust your game from going to that sprint out to now probably meeting physically somebody down every step, every inch of the floor you went, somebody banging you down the floor? How did you change and evolve during the season because of that?
Honestly, I didn't change anything that I've done. I think my, you know, how I was coaching in high school kind of developed how to run the floor. Just with my high school coach is big on that. I've run with all the guards and all of our conditioning drills in high school and college. So I've always run the floor really well. And you know, if a team has the game plan for me running the floor, then you know, that's going to, you know, take away from their other time they could be preparing for something else. So, you know, I just ran the floor hard, whether it was whether they were game planning for it or not. And, you know, if I could steal a few easy buckets here or there, then I would take the opportunity. But, you know, it's just a little extra thing that they have to prepare for, and something that, you know, most teams that don't have to prepare for. So just a little extra dynamic.
Well, and you know what? How you answer that leads me into this next part of the question. It's a perfect segue. Because they're focusing on you and because they're trying to stop you in some of those runouts and how you're getting down the floor, the other guys have to step up and they have opportunities to evolve. Were you surprised at how good Victor was this year? You were with him every day in practice, workouts, game situations going through last year and this year. Were you surprised at how he evolved and how his game expanded and basically rose to such a level?
Not at all. I mean, I like you said, I work with him every day, and his work ethic is one of the best on the team. And, you know, I wasn't surprised at all just because he had been doing that all summer last summer and, you know, in practice every day. And so I wasn't surprised. I think really our whole team worked well together. Me and Vic especially work well together just because, you know, we can. It's tough to guard both of us, especially in the pick and roll or things like that. So, you know, we open up a lot of things for each other.
Well, you know, you're very fortunate. You did have a great high school coach, Gene Miller, and I coached against him several times when I was coaching, and we had some battles. And you have a great family, great mom and dad, and two older brothers that have kind of led the way and shown you a direction. Now that you're getting ready to embark on what's sad for many IU fans, but we're happy for you going into the NBA and an opportunity to be a lottery first-round pick. When you talk to Luke, who had his time in the NBA most recently with the Phoenix Suns, and Tyler, who's with Cleveland, Cody, are they giving you any advice on what you need to be prepared for or how you need or what you need to expect as you make this next step towards the NBA?
Not so much, you know, nothing monumental as far as advice or anything like that, but all three of us are really close, and, you know, I talk to both of them, you know, a couple times each week, so, you know, I was asking a lot of questions throughout the season, through the ups and downs of the NBA season, so I feel like I'm more prepared for what's coming in the future for him. But, you know, every step from whether it's high school to college or college to NBA is a big step. And, you know, it's just one of those things you have to, you know, learn for yourself, experience for yourself, and, you know, try to get better from it. So I'm excited for the experience.
I think Joe's got a question right now.
All right.
Yeah, Cody, real fast, I want to put you in a time machine, and I want to play you a little clip, and afterwards you can tell me how tall you were, first of all, at the time, and how excited you were, okay?
All right.
This is something Luke had never heard either before I played it for him.
State championship on the line here. Let's see what the Hatchets can do.
Okay. So let's see what they're going to do. They're going to put everybody down here. So they're going to let him run the floor. And it's going to go to Zeller. Zeller will let it fly.
Got it! Oh, my God! He got it!
He hit it! He got it! A three! He got it! Luke Zeller hit a three! And the Washington Hatchets win! The Washington Hatchets win! The Washington Hatchets win! The Washington Hatchets win! That's an All-American! That was an All-American shot! Hatchets win! Hey! Hatchets! Hatchets!
Okay, Cody, that was from WRZR. That was the call of Luke's shot. And I just wanted to kind of get your feelings. Were you 6 foot yet at the time or what?
I can't remember. I was in sixth grade. Luke is 6 years older than me. And I don't know how tall he was, but I was front row for it. It was, you know, one of the shots that will live on in Indiana high school basketball history for a long time.
Well, and you would go on to win several state championships. So it's been a great run for the Zellers at Washington, and now you at IU, and now you're going into the NBA and into the draft process, and you're in workouts right now. Cody, have your workouts changed for you as far as what you're working to develop, how you're looking to expand your game as you prepare for the draft?
Not too much. You know, throughout the season and even now, you know, you're always working on your weaknesses. You know, try to improve on those, but also, you know, you got to keep your strengths, you know, as a strong point. So, as the workouts come, you know, I have a, still working with our strength and conditioning coach. You know, Coach Crean has been working me out, so I feel like I'm very well prepared for what the workouts that I have coming up.
We had a question from one of our listeners, Cody. Craig Schneider wanted to know if adding a mid-range jumper will be part of the things that you will focus on expanding your game in the NBA.
Yeah, I mean, I shot, you know, I have a fairly good mid-range jumper. I use it a lot more in high school. You know, this year I just didn't feel like it was the best for our team, just from a percentage wise, just because, you know, we have, you know, six guys who could easily score 20 points on any given night. So, with so much offensive power that we had this year, I didn't feel like I needed to use it as much. But, you know, it's just, but I'm definitely working on it more, and, you know, definitely I'll need that at the next level.
And when you think about your time at IU and the school year is going to be coming to an end, and you may probably continue some classes and get your graduate degree at some point, but what are you going to remember most about being a Hoosier going to Indiana University?
Probably playing at Assembly Hall. You know, we had some unbelievable games, obviously the Kentucky game, but also, you know, so many – night in and night out, whether we were playing, you know, Kentucky or a non-conference game, it was always a loud atmosphere. And, you know, it's so easy to play hard in those games just because you got so much adrenaline from the crowd. And, you know, you don't see as much of that in the NBA. So it's definitely one of the things that I'm going to miss and one of the things that I'll remember for a long time.
Okay, Cody.
Well, Joe, go ahead, Joe.
Okay, yeah, we have yet one more question here, a question and a comment. It's from Luke Holes. He's originally from Jasper. He's up near Nashville, Indiana right now, and his comment was, great pick for an interview. First of all, thanks for choosing IU. I enjoyed watching you play. Good luck in the NBA. Question is, did you enjoy your opportunity at IU, and would you choose IU again if you had the chance to do it all over again? I think I probably know the answer to this after the last comment. So,
yeah, I would in a heartbeat. You know, I when I made my decision, I you know, I had high expectations for Indiana on and off the basketball court with you know, the Kelly School business and then everything that Coach Crean and the players had here. But my experience over the past 2 years has been everything I expected plus more. So there's never a day that goes by that I regret it. And, you know, I'll always consider myself a Hoosier.
Cody, you know, do you have, I mean, you're still a young guy and you're a sophomore in college and you're ready to take this next step. Is there anything, any apprehension? I mean, I got to believe, I don't want to say I got to believe. Is there any apprehensions, any concerns that you have about taking the next step in your journey?
I mean, there's a lot of unexpected things, you know, unknowns that are coming. You know, as far as, you know, I have no clue what city I'm going to, you know, a lot of stuff like that, but, you know, I'm excited for the experience. You know, I've dreamed of playing in the NBA for my whole life, and, you know, I've had a great 2 years here at Indiana, and, you know, I'm definitely excited for what's coming, and, you know, it's, a lot of people would love to be in my shoes, so I'm definitely very thankful for everything that I've been given.
Well, last question, Cody. You've been in the spotlight a long time. From the time your family got into Washington, Indiana, which is a crazy basketball town and state, to going up to IU, you know, a lot of people grow up and want to be in the spotlight or wonder what it's like to be in the spotlight. What have you learned in your short life and your young, you know, you're starting to reach that adulthood period. What have you learned about being in the spotlight?
It has its perks. You know, it's good and bad in a lot of different ways. You know, you're the one that's going to be criticized for a team losing, but you're the one that gets the praise for when the team wins. So the biggest thing that I do is I just ignore all the media, just because the media is so up and down with, you know, one day you're a hero and one day, you know, you shouldn't be starting. So, you know, if you follow the media, it's just such a roller coaster. So I just try to ignore it all and just stay, you know, level-headed, try to ignore the praise, ignore the criticism, and just stay on a level path. And it's been working out for me so far.
Yeah, I love that answer. It really is about the peaks and valleys in life, period. We've got a couple minutes left, and I know your family has appreciated all the blessings and support you guys have had. And you and your family have something that's very close to you. You started it. It's Distinction Camps. It's a program that your family's involved in. And these last couple minutes, Cody, can you tell our listeners a little bit about the Distinction Camps?
Yeah, so it's Distinction with an X. You know, you can get on the website at distinction.org. It's a company that Luke originally started, but the whole family is kind of on board with it now. But we do Christian basketball camps around the state and even into, you know, in Ohio and some of the other states throughout the summer. But, you know, we've had so many great people that have helped us get to where we're at now. And we just like to give back to the kids. You know, like I said, it's Christian basketball camps, but we also teach, you know, the values that all three of us have grown up by. And, you know, it's a great program, and, you know, we're excited to interact with the kids this summer.
And you and Tyler and, well, you now for sure, and Luke and Tyler are all a part of it and on-site and involved with the kids.
Yeah, we try to make it to as many as we can, obviously. All three of us are very busy, but we try to make it to whichever ones we can. And it's always fun to interact with the kids.
No, that's awesome, and you appreciate, again, I can tell as a family, you guys have appreciated your journeys so far in your lives and the blessings you've received, and I know that so much more is going to happen for all of you, from Luke to Tyler and now you as you move forward in the NBA. Really appreciate you taking the time to be with us, Cody, and we ask our listeners to make sure that if you got a young son, daughter that want to be involved in a great camp that's got great values involved, go to Distinction and check it out and be a part of what Tyler and Luke and Cody are doing and giving back to the young people. So, Cody, once again, thanks a lot for being with us and continued success and blessings as you move forward to the next level in the NBA.
All right. Thanks so much, guys.
All right, that was Cody Zeller, and we certainly appreciate him being with us. When we come back, we'll talk to another important program that's getting started, and that deals with football. You've been listening to the Coach K and Joe Show.
Looking for a dentist close to home? Look no further than Harmon Dental Care. Harmon Dental Care offers dentistry for the whole family, cleanings and exams, natural-looking fillings, crowns, bridges, and more. With convenient hours and a clean modern office, you'll feel completely comfortable. Call Harmon Dental Care today to schedule an appointment at 482-1060. Harmon Dental Care, creating beautiful smiles.
Mr. Kirby, I think I have a way out of this. We call the police, and we have them send over one of their sketch artists. And this ball breaker can give a discretion. We can put up wanted posters all over school. Have you seen this prank? Report immediately to view the ball breaker. Do not attempt to apprehend this prick, as it is armed and dangerous.
Do you have a question or comment for Coach K or Joe? You can call into the show at area code 773-897-6325. Now, back to the Coach K and Joe Show.
And you're back with us on the Coach K and Joe Show. I'm Joe Milligan, joined by the coach, Coach K, Ken Schulteis. Coach, unbelievable interview, wasn't it?
Oh, wonderful to have somebody of not only Cody's ability and what he's accomplished so far, but, you know, from everything we can see and understand, he's a solid young man, and he comes from an outstanding family and just has a lot of integrity and character. And I don't want to paint any picture of him as a saint or anything like that. He's still a human being, but he's been blessed with some physical abilities, and he's used those and maximized them. A couple things from our interview with Cody. I was surprised about one thing, actually two things. I was surprised that when I asked him about developing the mid-range jumper, which Craig Schneider had asked us about, that I knew that he had a mid-range jumper. But I was surprised when he said that he just didn't feel like he needed to use it because of a lot of the other offense that was on the team. And I certainly understand that, but I think that that weapon in his arsenal is a key and was a key in order to force the defense to play him and the rest of the team a little differently. So that surprised me. And then the second thing, Joe, his workouts right now, not really expanding, or at least he didn't comment on some of the things that are different in his workouts now as he prepares for the NBA.
Yeah, he's such a great, great kid. And, just I said earlier, Purdue, IU, all those kids, I know the Purdue people, we don't like the IU players and this, that, and the other thing, and just the same thing with the IU players. But, speaking of someone who took their physical abilities and did a lot with it is our next guest. And we have with us Heritage Hills great, Purdue great, and John Goldsberry. John, how are you doing today?
Hey, doing great, guys. How are you?
We're doing really
John,
well. Doing really well.
Are y'all able to hear me?
Coach K, are you there?
Yeah, I've got you. I want to apologize to our listeners and John. We have a little bit of a delay sometimes with the technology on the show, so I apologize. Yeah, it's great to have John on the show, and he was a great Purdue player and a great Heritage Hills player. He's not quite as tall as Cody Zeller, I don't think.
Not quite there, buddy, but you gotta bring a little extra attitude when you're not as big as some of those guys.
John, it's great to have you back on the show, and we want to have you back for a couple reasons, and I know Joe's got several questions, as I do. One, we know that you were recently up at the spring football event for Purdue, and Coach Hazel had a bunch of the guys back up, and we want to talk a little bit about Purdue football, but we also want to talk about the camp that you and a number of other solid football players from the next level are starting and going to bring into the Southern Indiana area to help teach youth about the game, and both on the field and off the field. So, Joe, I'm going to kind of let you start it since you're the Purdue man in the duo.
Well, John, I don't get the inside track like you do, but I did see some pictures from last weekend at the spring game, and it looked like you all had a very good time, and you got to meet some Purdue legends while you were up there, didn't you?
Yeah, it was a great time. It always is. I try to get back every year, not only to see my own teammates that I played with, but there's always, anywhere from 100 to 200 Purdue football alumni that come back for the spring game. And, we're talking about guys that played in the 60s and 70s, guys I've never met before. They're accomplished businessmen. They've been successful in life, and it's just a great networking opportunity. But then also, to get back and meet these current players and let them know that they have our support. There's a lot of ups and downs in the Big Ten. Purdue's been down for a few years, and we got a lot of excitement boiling around Coach Hazel coming into town. It was really cool to see Mike Allstock come back. We had Bob Greasy back. We had Mark Herman back. We had another coaching legend from Purdue, Jim Young. He was the coach there, I believe, before Coletto and Tiller. But, you know, Jim was there whenever Bob Greasy and when Mark Herman was there, and they had a lot of success. So great to see a lot of those guys come back and support. And you know, I know as a player when I was there, it was good to see them older guys come back and support me. So I try to do the same.
You know, you were there during one of the golden eras of Purdue football. And, you know, as you said, the last couple of years, you know, things haven't been the best. The stadium is kind of emptied. But, you know, I'm sure you didn't get to spend a whole lot of time with the coaching staff. You're hanging out with your buddies. But what's your general view of where Coach Hazel and his staff's going to take Purdue?
You know, I didn't get to meet Coach Hazel personally, but, you know, he was in and out pretty quick and very busy with all the events going on, getting the team ready to play in the spring game and whatnot. But, you know, we did get to listen to him speak, and he seems like a very disciplined, high-character individual. He comes off as a leader, and I think, you know, guys are going to respect that. I know there is a lot of excitement based around his previous experience. And successions, you know, he's done great with Ohio State, Kent State. You know, he's got a lot of good relationships. He's brought in some good assistant coaches, which is good to see. And you know, there's a lot of excitement around it. So, but you guys know how it is. Until we step on the field, we don't know a whole lot. You know, the spring game's one thing, but when you line up and you put your hand in the dirt and play some Big Ten football, that's a whole different story.
You know, you were recruited during the Joe Tiller era, you know, and going through that recruitment, just go back a few years here, back to when you were being recruited by Purdue. And what, you know, what clicked and what told you right away, I wanted to go play for Joe Tiller in Purdue? Was there any certain thing, or was it just the, you know, the general atmosphere of it? Or when did you decide I'm going to be a Boilermaker?
There were definitely several key aspects. Obviously, one first and foremost was the Purdue education. You'd be very surprised through my experiences how many people have asked me if Purdue was in the Ivy League. It's funny to us Midwestern Big Ten fans, but you get outside of our realm, and you know people hear and they see of Purdue because of their engineering and their education. And that was a big play, you know, a big playmaker in the whole deal. You know, I wanted to come to Purdue, get a good education, and then, you know, secondly, be successful in the football field. Obviously, Joe Tiller was winning a lot of games at the time, doing a great job leading that team. Drew Brees was on the team. I believe they had went to 5 or 6 bowl games in a row at that time. And, you know, Purdue was on the rise. So that obviously was a great opportunity to play for a great team and get a great education all around. But then, you know, the other key factor was, obviously, it's close to home. Santa Claus, Indiana, was only 4 hours away. My parents, my family, my friends, they could all come and watch. So that was a big factor. You know, being able to have your friends, your family come in and support you at those games makes a huge difference. So those are, you know, there were a lot of key factors, but Purdue's a very tight-knit community. You know, when you go to West Lafayette, that's all that's there. You take Purdue away, there's nothing left in West Lafayette. So we're a very tight-knit community, and, you know, that really touched base on how I was raised and you know, coming from a small community in itself.
You know, John, you talk about the tight-knit community that Purdue is, and I know a lot of Purdue graduates, and even as an IU graduate, and I talk to them, they're committed to Purdue, and that's where my next question for you leads in. With a new coach and a new regime coaching staff, do you feel like Coach will be reaching out to the former players, or do you already have an impact in in at least talking to the coaches, or is the door open for you to talk to the coaches as far as if you see somebody out there that may be a Purdue-type player, maybe somebody they're looking for? How much of a hand or door is open to the former Purdue players, those that have come before?
You know, I think the door is always open. You know, I know in the past few years with Coach Hope at the Realm, they didn't, you know, specifically they didn't recruit in Southern Indiana as heavily as they had in the past. I'm not sure what the answer is to that, what the details were behind it. Obviously, you know, there were different people at the, you know, in the position to recruit kids, but, you know, one kid that, you know, comes to mind right away is Ben Broniker, you know, a great player out of Forest Park. He's playing, he's a freshman at Harvard right now, but he's one guy that I would have assumed Purdue would have looked into, and I don't know that they really did very heavily. Jay Cutler was one of them they kind of passed up, you know, in the early goings when I was still there. But the one thing I do like is that we're starting to see a little bit of a change there, and some of those guys are starting to come down here, and some of those coaches are looking at the players down here a little bit more already. It's funny that we're talking about that now, because I actually just spoke with Todd Wilkerson yesterday a little bit, and Reuben Carter, who is now the defensive line coach at Purdue, actually came down and paid him a visit. And Reuben Carter was Seth Johanneman. He was Seth Johanneman's defensive line coach at New Mexico, and Seth is also a Heritage Hills graduate. So, you know, those Reuben's reaching out to some of his contacts down here in Southern Indiana, which obviously shows some interest in the area, and that's great to see. You know, and like I said, you know, a kid like Ben Broniker, who's just got great athletic ability to not even, you know, bring him up. I don't know if they brought him up or not for a visit, but to not pay a lot of attention to a kid like that, you know, it kind of makes you wonder. But I think that tide's going to turn a little bit, and it'll be good to see some of those guys down here get looked at a little more heavily by Purdue and IU and some of those other schools.
You know, John, you've been in the Big Ten, and you've been at a level that most of us can never understand. Even those who have coached football on a high level or on the high school level or been great players on the high school level, it's very difficult for someone to understand what it takes to be successful in Big Ten football, in Big 12 football, whatever it might be. Is Purdue, when you look at what it's going to take for coach and the program, is it something where pieces are there now? Or is this something where, okay, first we need to build the attitude, we need to build the toughness, while we are bringing in the pieces of the puzzle that can actually take us to the step we need to be? Is it a 2-3 year project from what you can see in your experience, or are there some pieces there that just they just haven't been able to pull it out?
You know, it's hard to tell. You know, Coach Hazel may come in and we may, you know, lose 2 games this year. We may lose 6. It's hard to tell, and because you know, kids develop, you know, and there may be some of those guys that weren't physically developed last year, and then all of a sudden, you know, they're all Big Ten or, you know, or whatnot. So that's always hard to say. Now from a character and attitude and a discipline standpoint, I definitely think that's where you gotta start your base. Obviously. Not only with just football, but life in general. Those type of people are going to be your successful people in life and on the field. So, obviously, that's your base. Now, from a recruiting standpoint, there's so many different aspects they look at with the, you know, the 40 times, the weightlifting, obviously, how many touchdowns they've scored, everything and anything. So, there's a lot of different aspects, and it's really hard to say because you get these. You know, you may have a top recruit that turns out to be the best college player that next year or within a year or two, or you may get that top recruit that, you know, he gets up to that level and he just can't adjust his lifestyle, or you know he doesn't have the right attitude or whatever it is, and it just doesn't work out for the best. But then you get, you know, the guys that come up and you know, they may have just walked on at Purdue or walked on it at IU, and the next thing you know, they're starting and they're all Big Ten and you know, they're playing at a high level and winning football games for you. So it's really up in the air. I don't know. I can't really put my finger on it to say specifically, you know, where that win-win is, but there are definitely a lot of different key aspects that play into it.
Well, and I know that it would be hard for anybody to say, yeah, we can, or no, we can't. You know, coach comes in, he gets a little bit of a late start. Most of their recruiting is past, and I think right now the key is just creating that connection to tradition and discipline, as you said, and toughness, and let's bang this thing out for the next season and see where we can end up. And our coaches need to be hard at work, and hopefully they'll call on their alumni and graduates and to find them some help and bring some pieces to the puzzle that can get football at Purdue back where they want it to be, because I know they have a great, great tradition. The other thing you've got going is, and that's one of the things we wanted to talk to you about today, you, in conjunction with, and you can tell us more about it, with conjunction with some other guys, are putting together a football camp for young people. And I loved how you talked about, when you were talking about it, you said, you know, teaching them what it takes on the field and off the field as well. So, John, tell us a little bit about what you and some of the other guys are putting together.
So this summer it's going to be June 21st and June 22nd. It's a Friday and a Saturday. It's going to be at Heritage Hills High School. It is open to all school corporations, so anybody in the area, anybody in the state, they could be Owensboro kids, Henderson kids, Evansville kids, Du Bois County, it doesn't matter. We're opening it up to anybody, so don't just think it's, you know, Heritage Hills Patriots players only, but we're opening it up, and I've got about 10 to 15 Division I. These are current and former players, so we have some Division I, and we also have some professional players that includes Canadian League, Arena League, and also the NFL as well. We've got a couple guys that have won Super Bowl rings coming. We've got guys that, you know, have been in the league 1 year. We've got guys that have been in the league up to 7 or 8 years. So there's a huge array, a lot of professional experience, a lot of Division I experience, and I'm getting with these guys and teaming up. Now these are former teammates of mine. Except most of them are Boilermakers. Several of them are not. They were guys that I played with in the league or in high school that went on to play as well. So we got several guys from the area locally that went on to play at New Mexico, at Harvard, at Indiana State. So we got a lot of guys coming back. And you could go to johngoldsberry.com to check out the coach's roster there. But, you know, I reached out to these guys to start this camp, and the idea behind it is to eventually do this annually, and all of the proceeds from the camp are going to go back to select players and their football programs. So one thing I'd like to do is eventually give out some scholarships and then also give back to their programs to help them purchase additional equipment or pay for travel and food and things like that throughout the season. So, you know, to really help these programs around here and keep building on our football tradition here in Southern Indiana. But, you know, when I selected a lot of these guys, the first guys that come to mind are the guys that are great on the field, obviously. But the next thing is, you know, I want high character leadership, you know, good attitude, discipline type guys. So, so that these kids can hear their experiences and learn from them. We're going to show them a lot of drills. It's not a positional camp, so you're not going to just go do quarterback drills or just go do linebacker drills or just go do wideout drills. You know, we're going to do football drills. We're going to be football players, and I want to really preach that to those guys, because when these colleges are recruiting them, they want to see an athlete. They want to see a football player. They want that guy that they can count on at any time to throw on the field at any time. And that's what's going to win them football games. So, yes, it is a football camp, but it's a football and life skills camp. So we're going to talk, you know, we're going to share some experiences with them. We're going to run some football drills. And the key is to teach them some drills, but we also want them to learn some drills that they can take home with them, that they don't need special equipment to do and things like that, because the only reason guys like myself make it to that level is because we can go home and do the extra stuff on the side when nobody's watching and nobody else is doing it. And that's what puts us to that next level and makes us better than some of those other players on the field. So, but then having that attitude and that drive and that desire to do it, you know, to be disciplined enough to do it on your own, to do it right and to do it often. So, so that's kind of where I'm coming from with the whole football camp. And, I think it's going to be really good. You know, we just kind of launched it out to the public this past week or so, and we're getting some good response already. And, we're going to kind of build off the initial, the initial rollout here, and hopefully it blows up and it's a really big deal.
You know, you said about the coaches you had, and, you know, I'm looking at the website right now, and I'm going to tell you, if you're a Purdue fan, you've got a kid, you're going to want him to go. Dan Derricking, John Standifer, John Goldsberry, Drew Rooks, Aaron Levin, Landon Johnson, Joey Elliott, Ben Jones, Nuari, and my second favorite, John Goldsberry, is my favorite Purdue player, okay? Stu Schweigert. I mean, you know, there's and then you have some other people on your deals, some other great coaches on here too. And, you know, what better way to learn football from people like this? I mean, where in southern Indiana are you going to get to go to a camp where you're going to get instructed by NFL and Division I football players? I mean, it's great, but –
That's really the key behind this whole thing. The key behind this whole thing, you know, I could host a camp by myself, and I could try to help these players out and whatnot. But in my mind, the best case scenario for all of these kids is to get a group of these guys together, and really bring that synergy in here, and let these kids feed off of them, and get motivated by it, be inspired by it, and you know. Being able to bring in a team of 10 to 15 guys like this, I think it's going to be crucial.
Well, John, we want to thank you for your time. And, you know, before the camp comes up, we'd like to have you back on, you know, to discuss it again. And you know, anything that the Coach K and Joe show can do for this camp, just let us know, because we feel like it's a very, very worthy cause that's going to benefit a lot of Southern Indiana kids.
Well, I appreciate it, guys. We'll try to do our best to make this thing a great experience for all the kids around, and I'm really looking forward to it. So appreciate your support, and anytime you need me on the show, you got my number.
Okay, well, thanks, John. And Coach K, when I will be back right after this message. You're listening to the Coach K and Joe Show.
Does your website work for you? Your website is an employee. You wouldn't continue to pay an employee that didn't do his job, so don't pay for a site that doesn't produce results. Whether you don't have a site yet or want to improve an existing one, Josh at Idea Fusion Media can help. Want your site to be found easily on search engines like Google? How about growing your business via social media like Facebook? He can help with that as well. Idea Fusion Media, web design that works for you. For your free website review, visit ideafusionmedia.com. That's ideafusionmedia.com.
Fat Boy is a P.I.G. pig.
See if you can guess what I am now. I'm a zit. Get it?
Do you have a question or comment for Coach K or Joe? You can call into the show at area code 773-897-6325. Now, back to the Coach K and Joe Show.
This is Cody Zeller, and you're listening to the Coach K and Joe Show.
And you're back on the Coach K and Joe Show. And, Coach, I'll tell you what, you noticed a few newer clips there. Ranter and indie correspondent Don Schulteis pointed out that maybe we've been using those other ones a little too long, so I spent hours finding new clips just to entertain people.
Well, Joe, I bet you spent minutes finding those clips, but that was a good one. I when I think of zits, I'll think of you now, Joe. I'll think of you.
Yeah, it takes a little time, you know. You know, anybody that has a clip they'd like to hear, all they got to do is email us at info@coachkandjoeshow.com, and you know, we'd be more than happy to have suggestions. You know, we'll take any suggestions. And you know what, Coach? If we haven't given people ideas of camps that their kids should go to this summer, I'm not sure what else we can do for them.
Oh, I think both camps, whether you're looking for a basketball or a football camp, I think both of those are good choices. You know, every player has a different level of skill, but when you're young, it's good to get in front of people who have been through it, who are trying to teach you something both on the court and off the court. Because as we both know, Joe, just from our participation in athletics through our school periods and in coaching many young men over the years, it doesn't last forever on the floor or on the field. It really comes down to who are you and what have you learned that you can carry with you on and off the field. And you know, not everybody's going to look at it the same way, and everybody brings a different skill set to the table, and it takes a lot of different personalities to make a team work, and it does that the same in the business world or running a business or having a family and being a good spouse or a parent or whatever it might be. So those are good camps to go to, and I am glad to see that level of athlete in their career give back to their communities. They're not doing it for the money, folks. The Zellers aren't doing it for the money. John Goldsberry's not doing it for the money. They're doing it to give back to their communities. They're doing it what they learned through athletics and from their good coaches and from their families, is that if you really want to accomplish something, if you really want to accomplish something, then help somebody else. Give somebody a hand up. Help somebody else at least try to realize a dream that you had, that you were able to be a part of. Give that person a chance, and they'll give that another person a chance, and that's how you really grow things. I've got a text message here from Brian, and Brian says, "Hey, Coach K, what do you think about the Knicks' chances in the NBA playoffs?" Knicks, wow. Great year. They're having a great year. They got a nice team. They've had a couple injuries through the year that I think makes them a little bit more ineffective as far as being able to win a championship. They have one of the great scorers in the NBA in Carmelo Anthony. He was a great scorer in college at Syracuse, and he's a great scorer in the NBA. Here's my problem with the Knicks. You don't have to agree with me, but my problem with the Knicks is that they depend on Carmelo Anthony to get them where they need to go. And my problem with that is Carmelo Anthony is not a complete player. Well, he's better than you, Coach Kate. Yeah, he's better than me. And he's a great scorer. But he's what I call a receiver. He's what I call a receiver. And if you've heard me talk about it before, other people might call it a black hole. The ball goes in and never comes out. So I think that's why Carmelo Anthony and the New York Knicks, as well as they played and as great a job as former IU player Mike Woodson has done, I don't think they can win an NBA championship. I don't know. I haven't looked at the seeding of the playoffs yet. I don't know how far they go. I do know that they can score. I do know that they're playing much better defense than they've played in the past. And they're playing good team ball, but Carmelo has this tendency in inopportune times to make it about himself. And those kind of teams, that kind of individual worries me when he's that important to a team. LeBron James is not that way. LeBron James is not that way. He's not a player who makes it about himself. Folks, he doesn't have to. LeBron James is the bionic basketball player that 20 years ago you wondered, would that ever come about? You had tall guards. You had powerful post players, but now you've got an individual that is such a great player in LeBron James. He's got Dwayne Wade, Chris Bosh to go with him. I really can't see New York and the Knicks being able to accomplish something like that because Carmelo Anthony, he's just a receiver. And if I want to be mean, I'd call him a black hole. The ball goes in and it never comes out. It just very rarely comes out. And when you do that, in inopportune times, and I mean critical times, it causes the team to stand around. It causes things to get frozen. And when you're in the playoffs, it's all about giving your best effort at all times, everybody getting everything accomplished on the floor they can, and teams change a little bit defensively, and they may be willing to give up a 50-point effort. They may be, seriously, folks, they may be willing to give up a 50-point effort by Carmelo Anthony because they don't believe that that 50 points will beat them because they'll do what they need to do on the rest of them. And you know, I can go back into history. We can talk about early Michael Jordan. Early Michael Jordan was like that. Early Detroit Pistons were like that when they had Dantley. In fact, they had to make some trades in order to put the team together in a way that Isaiah Thomas, Laimbeer, Rodman, and the rest of those guys became a total team. And they went on to win a couple NBA championships under Don. And those are the kind of things that you have to look at. You got a great player, but what kind of a great player is he? Does he make the people around him better? And I don't know that Carmelo Anthony is that. I love the NBA playoffs. This is a great time of the year. This is a great time of the year. You can hear my cell phone dinging. It's a great time of the year. This is when basketball on the pro level is at its best. You look at teams like the Boston Celtics. Are they able to make a run? I doubt it. I don't think, you know, Kurt Gukso will be on here in just a minute, and he may disagree, but I doubt it. Is Brooklyn good enough? No. I don't think Brooklyn's good enough. You know, they may take somebody out. They may take somebody out in the early rounds of the playoffs, but they're not good enough yet. Indiana, I wish they had a little more firepower. Chicago, great defensive team. They will give you problems, but may not be able to muster enough offense. And so I think when you look at the East Coast, the Eastern Conference, Miami is heads above heels, but that doesn't mean that an injury can't happen or something can't change all of that. When we come back, we will go into our rant with Kurt Gukcel. We missed him last week. I'm sure he's got something to tell us. You're listening to the Coach K and Joe Show.
Looking for a dentist close to home? Look no further than Harmon Dental Care. Harmon Dental Care offers dentistry for the whole family. Cleanings and exams, natural-looking fillings, crowns, bridges, and more. With convenient hours and a clean, modern office, you'll feel completely comfortable. Call Harmon Dental Care today to schedule an appointment at 482-1060. Harmon Dental Care, creating beautiful smiles.
You were in Nam, so were we. Where?
I was in Dangong. I was all over that place, basically. A lot of places.
What unit were you in?
I was with the Green Beret, Special Unit Battalion, Commando Airborne Tactics, Specialist Tactics Unit Battalion. Yeah, it was real hush-hush. I was Agent Orange. That was my name, Agent Orange, Special Agent Orange. That was me.
Airborne, huh?
I can see! I can see! I have legs!
Do you have a question or comment for Coach K or Joe? You can call into the show at area code 773-897-6325. Now, back to the Coach K and Joe show.
I can see. Clear my eyes. We're back. We're back, and we got Kurt Dukesell with us, and we start this portion of the rant, and let's wipe that Celtic green from Kurt Dukesell's eyes, because there's no way that Kurt Dukesell can tell me that the Celtics can make a run in this NBA playoff.
They're rested up, Coach. Very well done. Other than that, I can't tell you that they will.
No, let's seriously, I mean, I know you follow the NBA some, and this is the best time of year, you know, as far as you get focused and you know the teams are you're just going to see great basketball and great effort. And I don't want to criticize the NBA players because it's a long season, and it takes a lot to get to this point. But when you look at the Eastern Conference, Kurt, you look at a team like Boston. You've got some age on that team. They're missing, and they played pretty well without him. They're missing Rondo. I mean, can this team muster enough to make any kind of a dent in the playoffs?
They can win a series or two, but I heard something this morning that just, like, smacked me in the face and made me realize what kind of playoffs we're going to have with dealing with the Miami Heat. Somebody will have to beat them four times within a two-week span to win the title. This is not college where you spring the upset in a one-game or go-home scenario. And isn't that kind of sobering to understand that that's what's going to take to beat the Heat, much less try to get into the finals and beat somebody else 4 out of 7?
Yeah, and that's when I look down this list, Kurt. I think about Boston. I think they're well coached. I think they play hard. I think they've got warriors. They're warriors. You know, KG's a warrior. But I look at the playoff structure in the NBA, and it just looks so difficult for teams to put enough good games together unless they've got the added dimensions of a Miami Heat on their side in order to win. You know, we both have said throughout the year that we like what the Pacers are doing. But this Indiana, I mean, I early in the year, middle of the year, I thought, well, Indiana may be a team that can be a thorn in Miami's side. When you look at the Pacers, what do you like, but what do you worry about?
Well, I don't like the way they ended the season, but they've got some injury problems, if you will, but they didn't play very well down at the end of the season. I don't like that, but I do like their matchup with Atlanta. That's a team I think they can take care of, and that might be the series to get them going and get them back on the right track if they come with the right mindset of playing good defense like they were playing at the beginning and the middle of the season.
Yeah, and you know, they ended up with they're at 49-32 at this point. Another team, 49 wins, is Brooklyn, a team that early in the year made a coaching change. Whether that coaching change is the difference or whether it just was taking a while for that team to get moving, I've seen them play about two or three times over the last month, and as much as I like watching them at times, it's another team that I'm just not sure who is it that steps up and gets it done for a team like Brooklyn. And so when you look at the rest of Brooklyn and you look at Boston's situation and Atlanta and you get Chicago plays great D, and without the franchise players, so to speak, they're back in the playoffs. They've got 45 wins. Can Chicago cause any trouble? Is there a possibility they beat somebody they're not supposed to?
Well, Derrick Rose can figure into the mix, but without him, or if they try to get him into the lineup and it doesn't quite sync up, I don't see them, you know, making a dent. They do play good defense. They've got some guys that can score a little bit, but I don't see it out of Chicago, no.
Yeah, and I just look at the rest of the Eastern Conference. And then I go over to the Western Conference, and we talked earlier on the show, and I mentioned that a lot of people were high on San Antonio coming into the season. I'll tell you what, it's not that I don't think they're a good team, and it's not that I don't think they have great players who have had great careers. Even at 58-24, I got to tell you, Kurt, I just don't know that they've got the stamina to run through the playoffs and eventually win a championship. I could be wrong, and you can tell me I'm wrong, but I just don't know if that group has the stamina anymore for a long playoff run.
I'm not going to tell you're wrong, because those guys, although several great NBA players, but they are getting a little older. And, again, that's something. You've got to find that right mix of younger guys that can go out there and run all day, and a mix of veterans that know how to win in a playoff situation, which those guys do when you're talking about Ginobili, Parker, Duncan. But at this stage of their career, can they do it for 2 or 3 or 4 weeks, what it's going to take to go through the playoffs?
And then I look at Oklahoma City, Kurt, and you've got Harden, who went to Houston. Houston's going to make the playoffs. They've done a great job there. But now I look at Oklahoma City. They did finish first with 60 wins, I believe. But now I look at them and I say, what they didn't have last year, I don't know that they traded Harden. I don't know that they added anything that makes them better or more prepared to go against the Miami this year if they may reach the NBA Finals.
I think they found out how good James Harden was, and I think everybody else knows how good James Harden is, because he's a guy that can go get you some points in a hurry. And I know Kevin Garnett probably knows how good James Harden is. It puts a lot of pressure on some of those other guys opposite Kevin Durant now that James Harden is gone. So, again, they're a team with some – I mean, there are a lot of question marks, especially out west.
And if you – last team I might want to bring up, they're fun to watch, but are they really legitimate yet? They're too young, they're missing a piece, they're too immature, and that's the Clippers.
Well, again, they've got a lot of young players too, but sometimes maybe that immaturity will seep in, and do they have enough to get through a playoff run? Again, that's it's just going to depend on a matchup, whether they can take out somebody or not, but it'll be interesting to see. I don't have a good grasp on the Clippers either.
Okay, let's jump into the Big Ten. We've heard people leaving. We heard people staying. Michigan's got Robinson. He's going to stay around. McGarry's going to stay around, I believe. Harris is going to stay around at Michigan State. Those are key people coming back for them. Indiana, now Abel looks like he's gone or going. When you look at this Indiana team coming back, I know we've got really good players coming in, Kurt, but there's not a whole lot of experience coming back on the court. Sheehy coming back, Yogi, of course. What do you think about the Big Ten as far as the upper echelon of the Big Ten, the players that are going, the players that are staying?
Well, you look at Indiana to start with. I mean, they're going to take a major hit. You can't lose those two guys that they're losing, along with Elston and Jordan Hulls, and expect them to play at that level, at least not right away. I mean, that's a lot of points when you break down the points per game. And it's going to depend on how those other guys, you talk about Sheehy, you talk about Yogi Ferrell, can they elevate their game to even a quarter of what those other guys were to try to take their place? I mean, it's going to be awfully tough, and especially early in the season. I guess that's why they have all those easy games to see where they want to go from there. But, that's why you schedule like that. I mean, you've got to find out where those guys are. And Michigan, go ahead.
All the easy games, and I was hoping we were past the easy game early schedule, but we're not going to be. And this is what I would say to IU fans, and I can't wait to get rebuffed by a few of them, but why do you think, I mean, why would they think, I mean, I love what you're saying, and I think you're right, I stand with you, but why would they think that Kentucky can graduate all those guys, and just because they got what people perceive perceive on paper as a solid recruiting class coming in this past year. Why do they think, and we laughed about them in old Kentucky, they found out what one and done's all about. Not that I use one and done, but my point is we have 4 1,000-point scorers leaving. And why would we think that we're going to be any different than any other team that loses a bunch of what turned out to be veteran players and solid players, post players, perimeter players, ball handlers, defenders? I mean, I agree with you. I think early on, it's really going to be, the metal is really going to be tested in what this team is going to become. And I think you know and I both know that we're not just talking about in wins and losses. We're talking about in their overall play.
Yeah, leadership and how you get to go about things. Some of those other guys, you're going to have to teach some of these younger guys how to do it, some of the things that Cody Zeller was doing, how Oladipo was leading and things like that. And I just think it's because Indiana fans have short memories. She's like, now they don't remember the 6-23s and the whatever. They're going back to last year, the year before that, and jumping back all the way back to 1987 and just expectations. You know, we throw Indiana on our chest that we're going to be good, and which they should. They're not going to drop to the bottom of the Big Ten by any stretch of the imagination, but it's not going to be as easy as you think to replace all those guys. But, you know, and it's going to – we're going to have to see what other teams do as well. I mean, Michigan, they lose a bit of their identity with Burke and Hardaway leaving. I mean, they're going to have McGarry coming back, and they're going to have, who was that, Glenn Robinson III coming back. But they're going to change dramatically. I mean, Trey Burke is a heck of a point guard. I mean, that's going to be an amazing loss for them. Michigan State with Harris coming back, that's great for them. And you've got to take into consideration some of the up-and-coming teams that maybe were this year a year away. A team like Iowa, who went on a great run. They're going to be poised to win. Ohio State's going to be poised to win, even without Deshaun Thomas. So it's not like you're in a vacuum of just your team and what you lose or what you have coming back. And that's what you got to wait to see play out later next year.
Now, Kurt, you know, we've talked pro, we've talked college. Let's talk a little high school real fast. You know, you do a number of baseball games during the spring, and just kind of wanted to get your outlook on some of the area teams that and how they've been faring. I know Jasper's had some nice season, but give us a little overview on Jasper first and then continue on with some of the other area schools.
Well, Jasper's off to a good start. They're 10-0. They haven't really been tested very much. They played a good New Albany team. They were pretty good. Princeton played them well the other night, and it was a 4-2 game. But Jasper, they're still trying to figure out where to put guys. And Mark Giesler's having a heck of a season. He's hit 4 home runs, about 22 RBIs. They've got some good pitching so far from Giesler, Spencer Otto, and Nick Gilbert. They've got two good freshman pitchers in Craig Shepherd and Cal Kruger that they're going to develop. But some of the teams that they play – baseball is, I don't think, is as good as it used to be around, and I can't figure this out because isn't it supposed to be better now that everybody travels all over the country at 6 years old to play baseball now, and people can't throw strikes, they can't feel the baseball. I mean, it's kind of neat that Jasper and some of the teams around here are kind of isolated from that, although they've got all kinds of people that are trying to get it going like they do at these other places, but it's amazing some of the teams that they're playing that just can't do any of the fundamental things, and it's to their credit that they make those teams pay for it, and they're having a good year. Southridge has got a lot of young players in their lineup. They've went with kind of a youth movement, and they're playing pretty decent right now. They've got some speed. They got Chad O'Brien, a junior right-hander that's a good pitcher. He's very good. Northeast Dubois, they're up and down. They played some good baseball, but they're also trying to kind of figure things out here in the first month of the season when the weather's been really, really bad. Forest Park, they're in the same boat. They're up and down too. So I think this first month of the season, you find out a lot about your team, and then you kind of hit a point at the beginning of May, good or bad. What are we going to change? What are we going to leave the same and go on from there? Because like a baseball season, I mean, it's 2 months of 29 games packed into it. So if you let it go too long, it's not like a basketball season, 3 or 4 months, you kind of waffle in and out of what you're doing. Baseball, you got to figure something out by the beginning of May, and I think that's where all these teams are right now.
You know, Kurt, you mentioned some of the key guys on the Jasper team, Geisler and Gobert and Spencer Otto. You know, those are guys, those are names that you hear those guys in every sport. They've been keys in everything that they do, and it's not just talent, but I think it's effort and attitude. And I know I've had a chance to talk with a young man like Spencer Otto, great kid, hard worker, gives his best effort all the time. And those are the kind of kids that you like to see them get a little credit and have success because they do make all the effort and put forth the attitude and the time that's needed to be successful.
Well, I think so, and I think you mentioned those three guys, and I think their teammates look up to those guys because of the way they go about things and the way they help kids. And you know, as a coach, when you try to bring along young players, you've got to make sure some of those other guys, those older guys are on board to say, hey, this is a team, no matter if you're a freshman or a senior. And if you got some seniors with some pushback or some juniors with some pushback on some of that, you're not going to be very successful. And you coach younger players along with your older guys too. And if you got some help with your leaders in that that situation, it's all the better. And guys like Otto, Geisler, Gobert, and some of those older kids do a great job of leading, and they're good athletes in other sports. And it you know, it goes a long way to make your program, make your team good.
I just got a text message, and the guy says his name is Dan. He says, assess Jasper's baseball schedule.
Well,
I don't know if he's meaning it's good, bad, or ugly. He wants to know if he can assess the schedule.
Well, it's traditionally a very good schedule from what they play. Tomorrow they'll play a top 10 team in Columbus East with a college bound pitcher. Cathedral comes in; they've got Division I players and pro prospects. You play the Jeffersonville, the New Albany's. You play Evansville Memorial. You play Evansville Central. And even, I mean, it's been like that in Jasper Athletics, all other than football, and they really can't change it. Basketball, baseball, for the most part, they go out and try to play the better teams. Some years, even a traditional team's not going to be very good, and you got to just go through that. But I don't know if you can improve. I mean, if you really wanted to improve your schedule, I guess you could to a certain extent. But I think their schedule's more than fine. It's up to those other teams to bring it on a certain night. But I think their schedule's pretty good. And, Joe, you played in it. You know what kind of teams they play.
Well, I know that the tough thing right now for high school baseball is the weather. I mean, you know, we're going from – we get a couple warm days, Kurt, and then you go out now and you freeze your butt off. And when the ball hits the bat, it's tough. And you get, I mean, people need to understand, when the weather warms up, that's when you really start to see individuals and teams and pitchers. I'm not saying they won't have great games before then, but you like to see that warm weather because that allows the body, the muscles to loosen up, and you really start to get to see what individuals and teams are capable of.
Well, there's no doubt. And also, baseball is weird, too, because a hot pitcher, even on a bad team, can curtail a good team. And a team like Jasper, a team like Cathedral, a team like Evansville Memorial down through the years down in Evansville, every time that you go out there, if they can, that other team's going to throw their best pitcher at you. So you're going to have to face good pitching. And sometimes these teams come in, whether they had a bunch of games that week or they've got a big conference game, which, whatever, you can talk about that if you want. But if you had another conference game the next night, do you save your pitching for that? I think a lot of high school baseball is who can you put out on the mound. And if you've got a good development of pitchers, then you're going to be fine. If you can put, which Jasper can, some of these other good teams can, they can put a good pitcher out there every night. But some teams are at the mercy of maybe just having one, and that makes it really tough on them to play consistent baseball, because you can throw your ace out there a lot, you'll be fine. If not, maybe not so much. But, yeah, that and the weather, it's a tough thing to go through here in the first month of the season.
Kurt, Don Schulteis just texted me, and you know he's our indie contributor and also joins us on the rant. He can't join us today, but he wants to know, why would a guy like why would a guy like Remy want to leave IU?
That's the million-dollar question, isn't it? I don't know if you guys batted this around or not. Does he want to play 35 minutes a game? Does he want to go somewhere where he thinks he can contribute more? Does he want to go to another place to pursue other academic situations? I mean, there's a lot between the lines with this whole deal, and I don't think you can read a lot of this at face value. I thought it was very interesting that he was going to leave and everything was fine, but Mom got involved, and I don't think she was too keyed on the idea of him leaving. And once that situation started to come to forward, if that's even what it happened, I mean, that was just a media report, but I don't know. What do you guys think? Or what do you think?
Well, I don't get it. And I know Joe will jump in here in a minute and probably infuriate every IU fan, but I don't get it. I mean, Remy's one of the guys coming back that got, well, you know, not a ton of playing time, but he's one of the guys coming back that got some critical playing time. He was in some pretty big moments. He logged some decent minutes. He shot the ball when he felt. I mean, is this some discussion that went on inside the coach's office with him? This is where you're going to be next year. He didn't like it, or he just doesn't like being there, or all these guys are leaving, you know, through graduation or going to the NBA, and he doesn't feel like he. I really have to be honest with you. I never looked at Remy Abel coming out and transferring like this. I just never had a thought about it.
Well, because you and I probably don't think like that. You're at a great school. You're in a national championship contender. You might be able to contribute next year, maybe have the stage a little bit for yourself. That's how I look at it, but maybe he wants more. Maybe he wants to score more. Maybe he wants to play more. Maybe they sat down with him and said, you know, we're going to play these guys that we've got coming in. And he didn't, you know, think that he was going to be able to handle that. And on the flip side, I mean, he wasn't a highly recruited player. I mean, he was headed to the Ohio Valley Conference or the Missouri Valley. And they gave him a good scholarship at a great school to play for a great program. And maybe he didn't think that was enough. So he wants to go somewhere else. But whether it's them wanting him out or him wanting to leave, maybe we'll never know the answer to that question. But when other people start getting involved in it, that's when it really piqued my interest. I mean, I took it, you know, at first, okay, you don't want to be there. That's fine. Guys transfer all the time for different reasons. But I didn't think he'd want to leave. But that's how I think. You know, I think more as a team player or something like that. But maybe that's not the way a guy like that thinks. So stay tuned, I guess.
You know, I goof around about the creaning and the painting or pork chopping or whatever the IU people call it. But what I laugh at is, really and honestly, none of us really know the whole story. I know we had a tweet from a fan this week saying this is what how it is. This is what it is. None of us really know what's going on.
No.
You know, Anthony Johnson, you know, I spoke up earlier, you know, that last week he had tweeted he was fired up to work hard and Purdue to have a good season. And now he's only transferring, you know. But then also I've also heard now that possibly his grandpa's sick and he wants to move closer to that situation. We don't have any idea. So the creaning and pork chopping talk is always just for entertainment. So
right.
And I want to remind everyone though that we're 90 seconds away from being off the live broadcast. And if you want to continue, we have to say afterwards.
I want to tell people that we are about to end the live show, as you just mentioned, and Kurt. But stay, join us back for the podcast, because when we go off live, I'm going to talk about some other things from the Cody Zeller interview and get into some of that and get Kurt's reaction. So the Remy thing bothers me because IU announced it in the dark of night, and then all of a sudden we come back with Mom didn't know anything about it or wasn't clear on it, and it's just confusing to me.
Yeah. Well, yeah, the timing of that, and Kareem, we all know how he likes, he's in charge about everything, and he likes to play the media and whatever. He couldn't put it in a better news cycle place than he did at 11 o'clock on a Friday night. I mean, you had to search long and hard to find it, you know, but it being IU basketball, it was there. But, again, I watched ESPN last night watching a baseball game or watching Fox Sports. There were at least six or seven or eight names scrolling across the screen last night, so-and-so transferring from Villanova, so-and-so leaving this school, that school. So it's just because it's here we pay more attention to it. But guys leave, everyday students, not athletes, leave school and go other places. But, I mean, we're talking about millions and millions of dollars and things that people care about, so we hear a lot about these guys leaving. So go ahead.
Kurt, I agree with everything you're saying, and I don't like to – well, maybe I do. I don't like to create, like, there's some kind of underlying thing going on here. But I just thought it was so interesting. Late at night, this release comes out. IU has said Remy Abel's transferring. You don't hear anything, and then the next thing you know, Mama says, I want to talk to Coach Green. What's going on? I mean, to me, is this a discussion that was had behind closed doors? This is where we see you next year, and Remy said, well, I don't want to do that. But I also go back to where I'm always hearing, well, we're like a family, and Mom and Dad didn't even know that he was transferring, or at least wasn't clear on it. So that's – and Kurt, I know. People leave all the time, and I said that early in our show. But I hate the excuse that we use now because we didn't use this for years. And as I told the audience earlier in the show, I've sat in a few living rooms when they recruited. They don't come in and say, well, you're on a one-year deal. That's not what
right.
they say. We're going to give you a scholarship. We're going to grow you as a person. We're going to grow you as a player. And so it just seems more in the last couple of years, and I think you hit it right, there's millions of dollars involved, that this landscape has changed a little bit, and it's that Wall Street attitude, hey, you know, we're not going by 20%. We got to get somebody else in here.
Well, and I think you're skiing down a slippery slope if you make a habit out of this. 1 year, then the next year. I mean, how many parents can you get to trust you? Or unless you're going to go solely dealing with these one-gun guys or these two-year-go guys where, you know, those parents know the situation and they know, you know, and maybe you can do that to a guy that, like I mentioned earlier, like a Remy Abel that, you know, should have been, or in our perception, happy to just be there and play and contribute or whatever. And basketball coaches, football coaches. Well, I mean, really? I mean, can you believe anything they say? I mean, they come there and they tell you something, but can you believe it? But
I think it's tougher now today to believe that than it used to be. And you know, you see kids that left when they were disgruntled, they didn't get playing time or something like that. But now it's more, you're seeing more often where, you know, you need to move on because you don't fit into our plans.
Anything
on the court or off the court, you just aren't doing enough. And again, I don't have the insight. I'm not in there, and I don't know for sure, but it just seems like it's getting to be more on the other side than it was before.
Okay, I just took college basketball coaches to task on them asking a guy to leave or whatever, or telling them where they stand. Have you not ever done that as a coach? I would think that's commendable for Tom Crean or Matt Painter or Mike Bray to say, Johnny, here's the situation. You might not play. Maybe you want to go somewhere else. Or, Johnny, you're a high school sophomore. Here's where you are. We've got some eighth graders are coming, freshmen are coming. Is it in your best interest to maybe go work on some other sport? I think a lot of high school coaches have this discussion with players. And I think maybe college parents of college kids or maybe the kids themselves, maybe they're glad that the coach was honest with them. Maybe the high school parents were glad that the coach was honest with them before they get into next season and find out they're going to sit or they're not going to play. And then you've got a mess both from the player standpoint and the coach's standpoint because you got to deal with it. I mean, again, I took the coaches to task, whether it be a college coach or a high school coach, but maybe if it's all done honestly, maybe the coaches should be commended for what they're doing.
Oh, and Kurt, I won't disagree
maybe
with you on that
situation.
Because I know, I mean, in my own time, I know I had the sit-down talks with players, and in some situations it was, you know, you're going to have a tough time getting to play if there's another sport you're doing that you can work on to get better by not playing basketball, I understand. And then there were others that said, no, I want to play basketball.
Right.
And some of them that I think were going to be major contributors, guess what? They ended up being major contributors and helped us win in the tournament. So those discussions happen. I just hope they're not happening with you need to move on. Because that kid didn't come there. Now, in Remy's case, wasn't he a last-minute signee?
Yes, he was going to Bradley or something like that. And I mean, he was going to jump with the chance to play at Indiana. I mean, we all probably would. But, but then maybe his situation's changed. And I find it – I didn't have as much problem with the Roth thing or the Maurice Creek thing. If this is – I mean, they're still recruiting for next year. They just lost the Cena kid that was pretty good. And – there's going to be this big uproar about Maurice Creek if he doesn't come back. But you know what? When you recruited Matt Roth or when Samson recruited Matt Roth or they recruited Creek, they said you're going to have a chance to play college basketball and earn a degree. Roth left there with two degrees. Creek's going to leave there with a degree. So I don't think there should be this big uproar other than the fact that, you know, Creek's had some tough luck. And he's had some tough luck. And if he stays, I hope he stays and I hope he contributes because I like Maurice Creek. But at the end of the day, if he can leave there with the degree that they've helped provide for him, it's not going to be as bad as one of these sophomores leaving or, you know, a freshman leaving like in Purdue, a redshirt freshman or sophomore than Purdue's case. That's the ones that are really sketchy. But if those guys leave out of there at the end, at the 5 years or wherever they leave, then I think it's fine. Because, and I think maybe they're more mature to say, hey, I think Rob never made a big deal out of saying that he got, I mean, the wrong treatment or whatever. So
I think you're exactly right. Roth was not mistreated. He was given the opportunity, what you said, to play and earn a degree, and he did. And Mo Creek, the same thing. I wouldn't even think that there would be any questions if he doesn't come back or if he's not given the opportunity to come back. They fulfilled what I believe is an obligation to Mo. I believe they fulfilled that, and Mo has too. And we both know he's just not the same player anymore.
No, but it's not. I mean, it's still cold though to say that to anybody that they're no longer needed or that we're going to recruit better players. And just the human side. The human side is what's going to make the Indiana fan mad and stuff like that. But if on the flip side, if they send him out there in a top three or four game and he can't get it done, then he can't play. And then the fans are going to be mad at that too. You know, we need better players out there than somebody that's not 100%. So these guys have got tough jobs. They make a lot of money. So who knows?
Yeah. The discussion, the debate will go on for the next month or so because we're going to see more players come and go and before things settle out. But another thing I wanted to bring up, you may not have had a chance to hear it. You can hear it on podcast, but we had a great interview with Cody Zeller, and we certainly were appreciative of him coming on and absolutely wonderful, positive, great integrity and character for a young man in every way we can see, and just a great player for IU, a great ambassador for IU, and he'll be moving on into the NBA and have an opportunity to have a great career and earn a great living. But one thing, there were a couple things that we talked about, and there was just some things we couldn't talk about, but one of the things that got brought up, we had a question from Craig Schneider, and we added it into the interview, and he said, you know, would he be working on a mid-range jumper in the NBA to add to his arsenal, since since it really wasn't seen, I'm expanding on the question. I didn't ask it that way, but a mid-range jumper. Cody responded that, you know, he had a mid-range jumper, that he didn't use it as much this year because he felt like they had enough people offensively that he didn't need to. That struck me because I think a lot of people not questioned, but said, you know, like to see him shoot that shot a little bit more to force the defense to come out and open up his drive to the basket, et cetera, et cetera. I was a little taken back with that answer. Only in that, I thought that he would want to use that mid-range jumper, and that Coach Crean would make sure that that was part of his arsenal during the game.
Well, yeah, you would think you'd want to be well-rounded, and every year you come back with a new trick or something good that you do. Jordan always did that, and that is strange, but. You know, again, I have no worries about Cody doing anything on the basketball floor. And Indiana fans are going to find out how much they're going to miss him. But that does, you know, seem odd, whether he's covering for somebody else or telling the truth, which I have no reason not to believe him. But that's kind of odd. But, again, I'm going to miss Cody Zeller.
Oh, and I am too. And I believe he already has that mid-range jumper. I think it's more a matter of just consistency, adding it to his game. I think there's no doubt he's going to be a good shooter on that perimeter area to pull that short corner, elbow area to pull that defense out on the NBA level and open up an opportunity for the back cuts or his drive to the basket. I guess I was just me as a coach or a fan, however you want to take it, just as somebody listening, I just thought, you know, he had it. It was there. We certainly would have liked to seen it out on the floor. I'm surprised it wasn't more a part of his game. Not necessarily whether he did it or someone else did it or whatever. I was just surprised by that. So overall, though, what a tremendous talent. And you're right, Kurt. We're going to really miss him. I also loved his response about being in the spotlight. And again, if you didn't get a chance to listen, be sure to listen to it. But he talked about, you know, I asked him about being in the spotlight at such a young age, what he had learned. And I was really interested to see the maturity level that he had. And it was great. He said, you know, it's got its perks, but it's also got its downside where you just got to be prepared that you're going to get the credit when you win, and then people are going to get on you and give you the credit when you lose. You know, you should have done more. Maybe you shouldn't be starting. I thought it was really, really mature how he looked at it, how he answered it, and I thought it gave me a lot more confidence for him in going into the next level, into the NBA, because he understands the highs and the lows, the peaks and the valleys of being in the spotlight.
No doubt about it. Do you know how hard it is to be in the spotlight like he was? And nobody can imagine the scrutiny, and you mentioned the praise that he gets, and whatever comes his way, it's just to be able to handle it like he did, it's beyond me. I mean, and again, he should be commended for that. And, again, it's unbelievable the way he handled it and the way he went about things. And maybe the NBA will be a heck of a lot easier transition for him to just be one of the guys and be able to have a great NBA career because of it, because there was a lot on his shoulders while he wore the Indiana uniform.
Hey, I got an earlier text message, Kurt. We got sidetracked on the basketball part, but I got a text message from Greg, and Greg says, is there a manager's watch for the LA Dodgers yet? I'm assuming he's referring to I think they're 7-8 right now, and I'm assuming he's referring to Don Mattingly. Is he got any heat in LA yet?
Well, they spent a lot of money for good players, and they battled some injury problems, and having Zach Greinke in that fight did not hurt or did not help Donnie Baseball at all. That's something that they paid a lot of money for that was a foolish thing to have happen on both ends there. But I think that ownership group out there, Magic and those guys, they know athletics, and they know it's 15 games in. And I think a lot of it, if you got good players, usually plays out pretty well. I think he's all right.
And you've been around the baseball circuit a long time, and I know when Scott Rowland was playing, you saw a lot of games. And when you look at the start of this Major League Baseball season, any team impressing you, any individual impressing you? And folks, the thing that everybody needs to remember, baseball is a long, long season, and you can look ferocious for a month, and then nobody knows your name 2 months from now. But is there anybody or any team that's caught your attention at this point?
Well, a team like the Braves, I mean, they're off to a 13-2 start. They just keep on pounding people. They took out Philadelphia. They seem like they sweep every team they play. The Giants are kind of struggling right now. But, you know, the Reds, they dropped those games earlier to Pittsburgh. Then they came back and swept Philadelphia, and they're getting great starting pitching. And the Cardinals, they're without their closer, and they've gone to the committee deal with now Mojica at the back end. They're going to have to try to find it a little bit and get going. But, you know, a lot of the Tigers are going to be there. The Giants are going to be there. But the Braves so far, unbelievably good.
Yeah, they've gotten off to a fast start. And, you know, can they keep it up? We'll just have to wait and see. Well, I think we're coming about to the end of the Coach K and Joe show for this Friday. What a great show we had, Joe. We had Cody Zeller, everybody's All-American. We had John Goldsberry talking about Purdue football and about the camp they're putting together. We heard a little bit about the Distinction Camp again from Cody, and we wish him so much success in the NBA. It's definitely a loss for IU, but, boy, were we lucky to have him for the time we had him. He certainly changed things. And then we got to finish things with Kurt Gugsell. Joe, does it get any better than that? Obviously, Joe left us.
He'll have other stuff to do, or he just fell asleep listening to the garbage.
It's amazing. The Coach K and Joe show minus Joe about half the time. But
actually, I muted Joe.
I don't know if you're on. Where are you at, Joe?
I muted my phone for a minute because I had to take another phone call, and I was talking. You guys just weren't hearing me. So I was going on. I'd muted it. I forgot I muted it. I had to take another phone call. But I'll tell you what, though, it is a great show. And just to let people know, I will have information about the Distinction Camp ran by the Zellers and the Southern Indiana Football Camp that's going to be ran by John Goldsberry and a lot of other Division I and NFL football players. I will have that up on our site. And I want to thank Kurt for joining us again. I want to thank John Goldsberry and Cody Zeller for joining us today. And I want to thank Coach K for all he does for the show. And, you know, I'm done thanking, I think. We'll be back again next week, and look for our guests for next week on Facebook and on our Facebook page. And for Joe for Kurt Gugsell and Coach K, Ken Schulteis, this is Joe Milligan saying we'll see you next week.
The following presentation of the Coach K and Joe Show was brought to you by Harmon Dental Care, Jasper Today, Idea Fusion Media, and the Willis Fence Company. Join us next Friday from 11 to 1 for the next show. Until then, visit www.jaspertodayonline.com or go to iTunes to listen to podcasts of past shows. See you next week.